candidates are often 9 times out of 10 incredibly nervous in that first interview. So that's something really important, I think, is just to have someone feel comfortable so we can truly get a sense of who they are.
Well, hello and welcome to the J. Sterling Hughes Show, where we share the straight truth on how we are rapidly scaling our family law practice. Over the past 9 years, we have grown from zero attorneys to 25 and doing over $15 million in revenue. And my purpose here is to document what's working, what's not working, and to share that with you with hopes that you can take that and you can recontextualize that in your firm and shorten your success curve. And my guest today is our director of team growth. Other firms may call this HR, but I am so happy to bring Robin Esch back on our show to talk about our hiring process, which, Robin, we call that the selection process, right?
Yes, we do. Yes.
Robin, I love the name selection versus hiring. It just means something a little more pizzazzy, and it's maybe more special to our new teammates coming on board. But Robin is SHRM certified. She also leads a team of two other individuals, and she oversees two companies, not only our law firm with about 75 teammates, but also our sister company, Rocket Clicks, which is a digital marketing agency with about another 40 teammates or so. And so, Robin, you are the resident expert with our selection process, and I would love to drill into your expansive mind and share what you know about our selection/hiring process.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. And I'm really grateful to be here talking to you about this.
I would consider our hiring process one of our key processes within our firm entirely. And to give everyone some context and history on this, when we obviously first started the firm, we had no process for hiring. It was just kind of like however we felt that particular day, how great someone interviewed, really no rhyme or reason to how we did things. And we would just make decisions off of gut rather than any sort of consistent process that we could scale out across the firm. So different leaders on different teams would be also doing the same thing and everyone could kind of get on the same page. And you have been highly instrumental in documenting our selection process within our firm and ensuring that everyone is doing it the same way, whether that be our team in Illinois or our team up in Appleton, Wisconsin, they're all doing it the same exact way. From a high level, if you could break that down and just describe step by step how our selection process works, the different interviews that we go through, the purpose of those interviews, all that stuff. If you could just kind of drill into that.
Yeah, I would be happy to. So we have a multi-step interview process, as you had mentioned, and it really starts with a lot of preparation on the front end. And I think that that's really setting the stage for the actual interviews. So when we are hiring for a new position, we want to gather information from that hiring manager. We request the same information every time. It begins with just even the basics, like review the job description. Is this accurate? Who do you want to participate in these interviews? Who's going to be asking the questions? You know, how it's done matters too. Is it a remote interview? Is it an in-person interview? And what are kind of your knockouts? Like, what are have to have in this particular role? So those are things that we gather on the onset so that when we're ready to post the position, we are ready to go. Because one thing that we found is this is pretty quick moving process. We want to keep the candidate pool flowing because people are looking for jobs and we don't want to lose anybody because we move too slowly. So we want to do a lot of prep on the front end. So it starts with a culture interview, and that interview is the same set of questions. It might be tweaked a little bit depending on the role. If there's some sort of piece of experience that is kind of a non-negotiable have to for this particular role, we'll hit that in the culture interview as well. But we're basically just getting to know someone. Why are you interested in this position? Why are you interested in our company? And it's really important to put people at ease and just really get to know them, because candidates are often 9 times out of 10 incredibly nervous in that first interview. So that's something really important. I think it's just to have someone feel comfortable so we can truly get a sense of who they are and how they might fit into our company as a culture fit, depending on the type of role that they're in. So that's a very brief, maybe 20-minute interview, and also allowing them some time for questions as well. So it's not really getting into the heart of the matter, just getting to know someone.
This first interview, the culture interview, that's a remote interview, right?
It is. Yeah. So this kind of in the past, in the old days, it may have, and I shouldn't say old days, this probably is still happening and sometimes still happens due for technology reasons, but this would be like a phone screen, like a quick phone call. So in the past, this may have been done as a phone call just because it is a little quicker touch base. I like to do them remotely because I like to see the person that I'm talking to as well, rather than just talk to them on the phone. So yeah, so it's a real quick one done remotely. First step is over. Yeah, I'm sorry. I get excited talking about these things. So, and not many people want to hear about it like in regular life. So I really appreciate this opportunity. Yeah. If all that goes well, we move on to the next interview. And usually we can get a really good sense in that first interview of how it's going and if we're going to move that forward. So if at all possible, I'd like to get them scheduled immediately because I want to let that candidate know that they're valued and we want to keep talking to them. So the next interview in our process is something that we really focus on the resume. And that will take place usually with the hiring manager and one additional person. There's a lot of note taking involved. So it's really helpful to have a couple of people there, someone to be a note taker and to just to ask additional questions as well. But we're following the same set of questions in the second interview, which is basically a deep dive into a candidate's resume and getting to know them a little bit more through their professional work history and their work experience. So we're going to ask them, you know, what was this job? What are some things you're proud of there? What were some challenges you found? And just ask those same set of questions as far back as the hiring manager wants to go in their resume and getting a sense of who that person is literally as an employee.
And then is that also tend to be a video sort of interview?
Yeah, that tends to be a video interview as well. That is, it's usually a longer we allow, whereas the culture interview might take 20 minutes or less even. This one usually lasts, we schedule about an hour for this remotely. And one of the reasons that we do that too is to keep the interview process moving. And sometimes it's just a little bit easier, you know, especially when you're looking at law firms and attorney calendars and getting someone in remotely rather than in person at that initial time. So those first two are usually done remotely.
Okay. And then what is, I guess, step three at this point look like?
Yep. And then step three, once we've gone through that, is something that is done in person and in office. And we like to have as many people involved as possible. So I don't want to mistake this last one as I talk about it for a panel interview. So it's not a formal interview where a candidate comes in and we're all sitting around the table firing questions. It's more of a meet and greet of everyone gets to a chance just to interact with that person. So when it comes to the actual interview part, not everybody might be sitting in on that interview, but we want them present just to meet them in person, have a little conversation with them. But that last interview really is centered around competencies that have been identified as key performance indicators for that role. So it's going to be focusing on things like, is this person really coachable? And you can get at that with questions that are very specific to that role. So for that third interview, We follow the same pattern. The questions are going to vary depending on, are they interviewing to be a paralegal? Are there someone who is going to collect intake information? Is this an attorney role? So whereas the culture interview and the who interview are pretty standard, the format of the final interview is going to be the same for all roles, but targeted questions depending on what competencies that need to be discussed for that particular role. So we can really link the candidate's experience to that competency to see how that would play out in that particular job.
Now, these are exclusively in person at this stage, is that right?
In some instances, if it is specifically a remote role. So for example, in the sister company, there are people who do work all over the country. So in that instance, we may or may not bring somebody in for that role. For that interview, we've had both instances where that has happened. But usually in the law firm, when it is a local in-person job, that would always be an in-person interview.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about when I asked that question. So I was thinking about our legal teams, which are all in-person lawyers because they have to be here with other lawyers going to court and so forth.
Yes.
But for some of our support roles, like I know some of our paralegal roles, they're outside of the U.S. even. So those folks aren't obviously coming in in person. So, okay, so a candidate is still with us and we're moving past that in person. Let me back up a bit. What do you call that second interview?
The second interview we call the who interview. So we have the culture interview, the who interview, and the focus interview.
We call it the who interview because this whole process is loosely based off of a book by Jeff Smart called The Who Interview Process. Is that right? Is that the book we've referenced?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Okay. And that's G-E-O-F-F for those looking to get that book. But that book has been transformative to us as we have developed our selection process over the years because it's all based off of that. We've modified from there.
And we still, I'll mention this too, we still do reference checks as well. And we get those started up and running when someone is moving through to that final interview. So we do gather those. I know in some cases, people aren't doing them in the past as it's been done, but we still consider those really, really significant. So that's something that we do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if you're still feeling warm and fuzzy after the second interview, you'll start the reference checks even before the third one. Is that right?
Yes. We will request those references as we are scheduling the third interview. So we would like to have the references completed by the time, it's not always possible because sometimes people are a little bit more challenging to reach. But we'd like to have those completed by the time that focus interview takes place.
Okay. So the candidate is feeling great. We're feeling great after that third one. What happens next?
Yeah. So that would come the offer, hopefully, if all goes well and the references, and again, we're to remain consistent, we're asking the references the same set of questions. Each reference gets just a set of like five questions, all standardized that to keep that consistency. But then we would move toward a verbal offer. And then once we have a verbal offer secured, then will come the written offer to follow. And we'd like to have that first conversation would be over the phone usually, and then kind of securing someone's interest, seeing if they have any questions, and then putting it in writing and getting that over to them.
And so that we sent over the packet that would include the offer letter, the employment agreement, the NDA, as well as benefit guide and that sort of thing. Right? Okay. Very good.
Correct.
Do we do anything differently if we're looking to add a lawyer to our team versus a non-lawyer?
Yeah, that is a great question. So we have the general process overview always stays the same, but we do adjust it a little bit depending on the type of role that we're hiring. So whether that be an attorney or an offshore team member. So we can tweak the process slightly, but overall we have a consistency in it. So for example, for an attorney, that's gonna have a little bit of a different set of documents. It's gonna be a little bit more in depth with some additional information that we need from them or that we need to provide them, you know, due to licensures and insurance and things like that. If we're hiring for an offshore position or even an entry-level position, we might tighten this up a little bit of different set of documents. There's some things that aren't needed from one role to the next that we're very aware of, but we keep the overall process the same and each process within itself remains consistent as well. So it's a matter of we're getting the same information, but which process will activate depends on what role we're hiring for. But there's always consistency in each step.
Well, good. This has been very informative. Thank you for walking us through the selection process that we've used and really appreciate your time today, Robin.
Thank you so much. And again, I really enjoy chatting about this and having an audience that wants to hear about a hiring process. So it's been fun.
Awesome. Thank you.